We got proposition.
Well, read it and weep. What was promised, Mike Antonovich, you said it before. You said it in November 2008. This is a wish list. This is not a list of things that we're going to be able to build. Look at what 42 says. Now, just a little over a year later, March 2010, the bad news, there's not enough money to build all this. And who should we blame on this? Maybe we should blame the Expo line. $200 million over budget and behind schedule. So where is that money going to come from to pay for the cost overruns? It's going to come out of the Goal Line extension. That's where it's going to come out, because Zev and his friends at the Expo Authority have screwed up. Take back your 25 seconds.
Oh.
Okay. You want to come your report?
What is this item? Because I lost my
stuff. We're on 42.
Strategies to reduce the fiscal year 2011 proxy.
Carolina.
Hi, good afternoon. Should I say good evening? It's almost 4:30. Okay, at last month's Finance Committee meeting, we presented an analysis showing a projected deficit of $250 million in our FY11 Prop C 40% revenues. The committee requested us to return with some options to resolve this deficit. As a first step, we've reassessed our revenues and expenses, and our revised estimate of this deficit at this time is $181 million. In the next few months, as we prepare our O11 budget, we will examine our capital projects. We will look at our administrative costs, our non-essential operating and capital costs. Reorganization of the operations department is underway. We are moving from a sector-based operation to a centralized one, which should allow us to streamline some functions and reduce expenditures. We do have some fund balances which we can use in the short term. However, it's not going to be enough to solve the problem in the long run. Unless we bring our ongoing expenses in line with our revenues, we will run out of reserves by middle of fiscal year 2012, and we'll again have a significant deficit by 2013. In order to address this problem, our operations staff is looking at fare restructuring and service restructuring. They will be coming back on an ongoing basis. I was hoping they'll be here today, but maybe there's some confusion. They will be coming back on an ongoing basis to go over some of the restructuring analysis they're looking at. Just briefly, a historical analysis of our service shows that our bus service has grown more than our passengers. This is partially because of our expanded rail service, our Metrolink rail service, as well as our municipal operator bus service. In terms of our fares, I think there is room to look at our rail fares in terms of offering some premium fares and offering some off-peak discounts. This is a way to increase our revenue as well as use our rail capacity more efficiently. Lastly, in the longer run, we'll be looking at some of our regional programs and any areas that we can make improvements. We'll definitely be doing that. So that's all I have, and we'll be coming back with more specific recommendations in the next 2 months.
Okay, well, we appreciate you found a way to decrease that deficit by $70 million. So that was,
thank you, sir.
That was a very good move. Any questions, Supervisor Molina?
I'm not so sure I understand.
On your attachments and your report, and I have one sheet. Where is the funding available? Because I got a revised one now, and it's different. When you say there are funds available,
there's a chart that shows all the funds that are available. Let me show you. Hold on. It's not there. I'm looking at it. It's attachment D, yes.
If it's D,
when you say these funds
are
Some of them can be allocated for operations. Some of them can be allocated for capital. Okay.
And, okay. So how much of this can be, if that, how much of this can be allocated for the deficit, which is basically an operations deficit?
I would say that if you look at line 9, that's 293 million. From that, yeah, 293 can be allocated for MTA operations. There's another 200 million at the bottom, which says DCRP cash. It's my understanding that is eligible for bus operating, but some of that money has been programmed for Measure R projects. And if David is here, he can give, or David or Terry would have to. Okay.
Prop A and Prop C, this interest of 7.6 million and 26.4 million, all of that could be allocated into this coming year's budget, right?
Prop A and C interest can get allocated in the coming year's budget. However, that does get allocated through the FAP. If we are going to. No, it can be allocated. 70% of that can be allocated for bus.
That takes, from 293, that takes away what?
No, 293 is, I've already calculated the Muni piece out of that. So 293 is includes MTA's share of the proper interest. $7 million.
Oh, so.
Yes.
So we can allocate that. That's our FAP share. We take it as other people's FAP, right?
No.
So the 7.6 is our share.
Yes.
All right. So
on the general fund property management.
Is this income or interest?
That I won't know. That Terry would have to answer for me.
Those are revenues that we have accumulated over time on the right-of-way, billboards, other properties who have been on the right-of-ways. Yes. Accumulated. It's about $4 or $5 million and going down as we have converted some of the right-of-ways to, like, Canoga is now going into construction.
Billboards and stuff. Do we put
revenue in our budget?
We have not typically done. Typically. We've been generally holding this aside, yes.
And this revenue's earned from fuel credits, the $66 million. Now, is that all eligible to be utilized for operations?
To be honest with you, I think that's probably a mistake. We allocated all the CNG fuel credits as we received them. No, that's the... if you recall our defeased lease program, we earned about 60 lease defeased lease programs where we leased rail cars, buses, and sold them, leased at that. Yes. Yes, this is the residual of, this again wasn't needed in to date. These are in the reserves. Yes, you'll also recall that we've had a discussion on the LILO-SILO issues in regards to the AIG and the defaults on the contracts and potential for having to cough up $166 million, I believe was the number, if everything went bad on the lease contracts.
Okay, I'm confused. Let me understand this again. This is money that is intentionally put in a reserve for use
in case something happens that goes wrong in these arrangements.
No, this is the amount that is left over today. Other amounts, we started with 65 million. Yes, you may.
And
the bus capital money, can we use that for operations?
Yes.
Yes. Why do we put it there?
This is an amount of money which became available when we received ARRA funding. Right.
All right.
We didn't need it then.
Again, that you have on here under Prop A, is that a mandated reserve?
No, it is not. It isn't. That's where it came from. It's the Prop A rail. It wasn't needed. We have been...
Excess.
This was programmed to capital projects, which have been delayed by management direction. This is a rail rehab program, including the rehab of the Breda cars, the P865, which are the Blue Line light rail.
I know, but you're making it sound like it's money we don't need. But now you're saying that it's, wait a minute, we're waiting for just them to sort out their problems with that, and then we're going to need it, right?
This is one of the things that we have done for years is these are maintenance activities on the system, and we had provided this amount of money towards those projects.
I know. Okay, but I guess what the question I was asking, you know, is like, don't give me a lot of numbers nobody understands. How much money is available for me to utilize in my operating deficit?
You may utilize this amount of money.
All of it.
The 30 on this line, yes. Yes, and the next line as well.
32 million.
Yes.
All right. And that's also true for the 37 million.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
Supervisor, that is true.
Over, it was planned to be used for certain things that have not come to pass, as a, you know, on the rail rehab. You have a 20-year-old blue line where you need to invest in rehabbing the catenaries and the track work and things like that. Does it have to be done today? No.
Getting old. So let's just, okay, then let me ask the question differently. It hasn't yet been allocated to rehab the blue line, but obviously we're going to have to rehab the blue line if we want it to continue to run. So it would be foolish to spend all of this money because then we're not going to have any rehab for the blue line. Is that correct?
That's a trade-off, yes.
Then maybe we need to ask the question differently. When I ask the question about what money is available, I don't want to take money out of, I mean, it's just like saying, you know, my roof is leaking and I got to save up for my roof, but, you know, I got to go to the prom, so I got to buy a dress. I mean, what's the priority here?
Yes. Those are...
your rehab.
Right. These two were part of the rail rehabilitation program, which is in total is $1.4 billion, which calls for the rehab of all the rail lines as they approach the 20-year life.
Million?
No, the 1.4 is accounting for future money in future years. For example...
And maybe you need to make it clearer. We have a deficit.
Yes.
Gestures that were really good, and you saved 70-some million bucks, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I need to know, can I take a motion to the board and say, give $32 million from this fund and put it into operations?
For rail, yes. The item 7 that says Prop A 35% is for rail operations, yes, you may.
All right, so then let me understand. Right now, is my operations deficit in non-rail?
The $180 million is a deficit in the Prop C 40%. It's a deficit in operating funds. Rail operations is one of the line items on the chart, isn't it, Nalini?
Yes. Yes, the deficit is in both bus and rail operations.
I can't use the 60-some million in that. I can only use it for rail.
On attachment B, it's 78 million.
I didn't need you to make it complicated. This is not a tough thing. I asked for a whole series of information because pretty soon we're going to have to deal with this deficit. That's why I asked for the information. But to give me a lot of numbers without context doesn't make sense to me. Now, if you say I can use this money, I will bring in a motion next month to use all of this money so that we won't have a deficit, and that'll be good, right?
Director Lita, yes. Could I clarify?
Yeah.
The third column here, which says use of funds, tells you what you can use it for. So if it says for any expense, you may use that for any purpose in the budget. And if it says for MTA transit use, it can be for anything in the budget.
But I guess the question I'm asking is, if I use that $37 million, and I would find next year, Gloria Molina used all of that Blue Line rail money, so we can't fix the choo-choo.
And you're right.
Thing.
When we have a discussion with you about the budget,
we can't have a discussion if this board member doesn't know what these numbers mean, and I'm one of those that reads everything, and I don't know what they mean, and I keep looking at them, and right now I'm getting a lot of guesswork as to what they mean.
Director, the second column tells you why the money is available today. For instance, number 6 has been reserved for replacing buses. Number 7 has been reserved for rehabbing rail cars. Number 8 has been reserved for rail
rehabbing. So that's why I asked the question, how much you have? And he said $1.6 billion.
No, he said there's a $1.6 billion need to rehab the rail system. This is $32 million and $37 million that have been set aside toward meeting that need.
Well, let's go back to the leaky room. So should I buy a prom dress instead of save the money for the leaky room?
The staff's recommendation heretofore has been to save the money for the leaky room.
Okay, well, that's why I'm asking. So I'm going to have to look for some new money if I want to buy the prom dress.
There are other items on here that you could use to buy the prom dress.
Because that's why I asked this question. Mary crossed out one. The only one that I found that I could use was Lilo and CeeLo. You said I could use that for you.
As I understand it, you can use item 1, item 2.
Well, item 1 only has $7 million in it.
That's right. Uh-huh. If, you know, these are...
No, item 2, 66 is worth it.
Item 2 is 26. Seven. Item 3 is 66.
Three I can use, item 4 can't be.
Correct.
Item 5?
Could be used. Item 6 has been reserved for replacing buses. So the recommendation heretofore has been don't use it for operation.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't say that.
Well, this table... needs an explanation, yes.
Okay, so in the last one on 8 is for MTA rail capital, so I can't use that for operation.
You cannot use that for operation.
All right, so if you deducted or added all of those ones from the 293 that you told me originally was available, how much is really available?
Well, I would like to say something, Supervisor. These funds, we are saying that these are reserved in the future, but if we go through a capital program, like for the rehab, for our bus capital, we are going through a capital program, and I find that we have budgeted amounts in our budget. However, the expenditure rate is much lower. So before we determine that we'll need this money for rail rehab in the future, we have to go through our current capital program to see if we don't have enough money for a rail rehab program.
This is February, and next month is March, and then there's April, May, and we have to do the budget in June. Do you think you'll have that ready for me?
I will.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. However, next year I'll have a better understanding and a better.
Next year you will take me into a larger deficit if I finance things the way you're asking me to do so.
I'm not asking you to finance this. I'm just saying that these are the fundraisers.
I'm going to make decisions to eliminate the deficit.
181 million. Where in this is your answer of how I'm going to get rid of it?
I don't have an answer.
I need an answer.
You will have an answer, yes. But we will be bringing you a budget proposal over
the next. No, you don't bring me my budget proposal until you've massaged a lot of people around here, and it's usually right around the end of May and for decision in July. Why I'm asking the question is that I would like to be ahead of it to find out what.
We want to be ahead of it this year, too.
I'm sorry?
We want to be ahead of it this year, too, which is why we're.
I understand, but you have to understand that while you are not making the decisions, and we are, I've asked for certain information. I don't think this is very good.
You tell us what you'd like, and we'll give it to you.
I'll ask one more time.
Okay.
When you have fund balances, which is money
you can actually use, I'd like to know what that amount is, not just what's available. Here's all the money you've ever saved, and here's money that's been set aside for stuff. I'd like to know what's real. You know, telling me I have FAP money, I'd have to go to Pam and say, well, so much for your money, I'm taking it and we're going to use it for the deficit and we go to war. That's not the way I want to do it. I'd rather find out what truly can be utilized. And even then, that's not enough money. You know that you don't have enough money even if I got approval for all of it. So then we have to begin the process of saying, what is a prudent reserve? Which is an age-long question, much more before you came here. Pam and I have been asking it for over 5 years. And we get to the prudent reserve, and there isn't anything in the cupboard when you open it up. So you can get in trouble trying to run an agency this big without a prudent reserve.
Yes.
All right?
I understand.
So that's why I'm asking these questions. We've been moving money around for a long time. And I've been around here long enough to watch them move it all over town. That's why I'm asking the questions. And so when I ask, I don't say just present me a lot of numbers. Present me numbers of what I can truly use. Now, granted, some of them might be challenging. I mean, we might ask the question of the Blue Line rehab, how much could be utilized under different funds, under different ways to get at it. So maybe I'm not going to take all the 30 million. I might only take 5 million because I have to leave the other there. But that required, and in the same thing with the report that you came up, okay, they're going to take 18 months to put in place these strategies. That won't be enough time to meet next year's deficit.
That's right.
So that's not an answer. It can't possibly be an answer. My budget is due in June.
That's right. And we will have answers for you starting today. In time for the budget adoption in June. And we won't wait until May to present it to you.
They presented this last month, and I asked for it this month, and I'm sitting here with some of the short-term strategies that have been identified, one of them being they're going to reorganize bus and rail operations, which will lead to more efficient operations in a reduced operating expenditures. That's going to be done in 30 days.
We've been at it for 6 months, and we're about to finish it, yes.
Okay. So
am I to assume that as you do that, I mean, again, if you do it in 30 days, I shouldn't start laughing yet, but if you do it in 30 days, and I applaud you that it's going to come in 30 days, is it how much value does it have to me potentially? $2.5 million? $22 million?
We're working out the value of that, yes.
I know, but you've been working on it. I mean, what's your target? Am I going to get $18 million out of it or $2 million?
I couldn't tell you today.
That's right. But if you're going to, in 30 days, you're going to know exactly what that, what the value is.
Yes.
Who's working on it?
The entire operations department. We have a transition team that, that's...
And you're going to know in 30 days.
No, I don't know if I'll know in 30 days, but Paul is more involved in it. I just got involved in it.
We'll put a value on that.
I mean, my assumption is that you're going to come up with hopefully a menu, which is what I said last month, of an array of potential options available to us. Not all of them are good. But I do think that staff has to prepare a set of options. We all know that if you cut bus lines, there's savings. And believe me, I've been before this board when they try and do that, and it hasn't happened. And we know that if you raise fares, there's revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been around this board well enough that that's not a lot of courageous folks on this board to do that. So that means you have to cut. So I want to know, where can I cut, and where do I have money that potentially isn't as essential right now? For example, if I had... people who are doing surveys about, do you like riding this bus? Would you rather ride another bus? Would you rather ride a free bus? Had those people going around counting those heads and making those phone calls. And other than doing it for free, I might say that's not an essential service right now.
I would agree with you.
Well, guess what? We got a report here that tells me exactly how many happy people we're going to get if we give them more direct bus from their house to work. And they'll pay a whole buck more for that.
Maybe.
The point is, it's going to cost us more than a buck to deliver that service for this guy. So I'm saying, who's doing that analysis? And I'd like to know what those are. What are the non-essential people, individuals, programs, issues? How do we make this thing much leaner, as they say, so that we can truly deliver what we need to deliver? People want buses out there, okay? And everybody wants it from their front door to their work. That's normal. But the point is that I don't know that because you're not presenting me those options.
We will in due course.
Mm-hmm.
But due course means that I
get it on... usually I get it on June the 25th.
You will start getting it next month. We will start next month bringing you options for different scenarios for balancing the budget.
Well, I know there's much more thought, though, than what was given to us today.
Because I really thought I was going to get a little beginnings of that. But giving me lists without context and knowing is just, it's not, it's what I asked for last time. I'm going to ask one more time.
And Super.
The answer is 18 months.
18 months is not an answer.
We need a $181 million solution, and if you can do more financing, as you did with the funding,
math, good. Maybe you can reduce the $181 million. But watching, as I'm watching with this economy and all, I don't want to be in a situation where this room is going to fill up with 3,000 people who are going to lose their jobs tomorrow because I should have made a decision 6 months ago.
Exactly right.
That's why right now, while they're not in the room, and we know what it is, let's find out what it is. And right now, when I read these numbers, I don't know what they are. And I think they're fair questions, and I think it's incumbent upon staff.
And I understand. And we failed to meet your expectation today. We'll do better in the future.
Okay, I'd like to know what the fund balances are. I want to know exactly which ones I can utilize and how.
Discuss each one.
I want to know what the goals are of the short-term fixes. Organization is going to take 6 months, and I'm only going to save $12. I may not be interested.
In some of the others that you're talking about, in
other supportive services, I want to know what they are. I may want that supportive service, but I may not. So please help us in that regard.
We'll give you all the trade-offs that you can make.
And Supervisor, can I just say something, please? I would have had more specific answers, and I agree with you, but we haven't yet started the budget preparation, the input, the whole, so.
You give it to me on the 25th. You've been working on it for 6 months, and you give me 1 week.
No, I'm only been working on it for 1 month, so.
And we will not do that to you,
yeah,
this year.
We'll do better next time.
You have never been reticent to not remind people.
That's good.
You have a great tickler file.
That's right.
Okay. Any other questions? Receive and file. And that additional information without objection, so ordered. Okay, we'll go back. What was it? 30. What do we have? Item 20. Forty-two. That's what we just did. Okay, we're going back to item 39. Right. We're going back to the beginning. Yeah. Okay, 39.
Okay.
Item 39 is our monthly financial report, and unfortunately, after that last discussion, this is not going to be very good news. Donna Mills and Mike Smith will present these reports.
Good afternoon. The one point of good news, we hope, the recovery is gaining some traction as the economy posted gains for the last two quarters of 2009. The issue is really the sustainability of the recovery, and that remains a big hurdle facing the economy and the financial markets. Looking at short-term treasury yields, we continue to see very low rates on securities as the Federal Reserve's focus remains accommodating the recovery. As this slide indicates, inflation returned to positive territory at the end of 2009, largely a result of oil price increases relative to a year ago. However, core inflation measures for housing, other services, and wages are expected to remain subdued for some time. The Fed has signaled greater concern about the fragile recovery than inflation fears. Fed fund futures, the solid line on the graph, mirror expectations that economic conditions mandate an exceptionally low Fed funds rate for an extended period. Looking at unemployment, at the national level, unemployment was unchanged in December at 10%. Ditto the state of California, where 12.4% unemployment was essentially flat with November. L.A. County was the exception as the unemployment rate increased to 12.4% in December from 12.2% in the prior month. January brought better news on the national level, with the unemployment rate declining to 9.7%. However, there is concern that any stability seen recently merely reflects more people dropping out of the labor force and no longer being counted among the unemployed. The Federal Reserve predicts unemployment will remain high over the next several years because recession-scarred Americans are likely to stay cautious about spending, making for a moderate recovery. The Consumer Confidence Index climbed higher in January to 55.9 from 53.6 in December, but it is still far below pre-financial crisis levels. According to the Conference Board, the consumer short-term outlook, while moderately improved, does not suggest any significant pickup in activity in the coming months. Consumer confidence that leads to spending is a critical component necessary for the recovery's sustainability. Looking at regular and diesel fuel prices, consumers continue to pay $3 and higher at the pump. To the extent that gas prices continue to move higher, they may squeeze household purchasing power needed to sustain consumer spending and help the recovery.
For our CNG hedges, while natural gas spot prices are continuing to rise slowly, they remain below the expected long-term level due to slack demand resulting from the recession. Currently, we're hedged at a rate of 75 cents per therm for about 70% of our planned CNG usage in fiscal year 11. Cash fare revenue collections are down relative to a year earlier and compound the already reduced cash collections from our sales taxes. While short-term financing rates remain extremely low, longer-term rates remain at relatively attractive levels, at or below long-term averages, and may from time to time provide refunding opportunities for our bonds. So we continue to closely monitor our outstanding debt for opportunities to refinance. As a continuing impact of the financial crisis, the financial condition of bond insurer AMBAC has continued to erode to critically low levels, possibly threatening insolvency of AMBAC. AMBAC still provides insurance for two of our interest rate swaps, and insolvency of AMBAC would trigger rights of the swap providers to terminate. We've been negotiating with the providers for several months to drop AMBAC policies and remove the related provisions. Regarding our variable rate interest costs, our variable rate bonds are, as a result of currently very low short-term interest rates, only incurring an unfavorable variance of about $35,000 per month, primarily attributable to our remaining 2004 auction rate bonds. With only the 2004 Gateway bonds remaining to be restructured and extremely low short-term rates at present, the difference in rates between our variable rate bonds and the related interest rate swaps has declined to almost zero. However, short-term rates recover to higher, more typical levels, the variance of the Gateway bonds will increase and pose a material cost. To minimize or eliminate this exposure, we're working to refund and lock in today's relatively attractive fixed bond rates and are currently forming our financing team to do so. Sales tax revenues continue to reflect the effects of high unemployment, underemployment, and elevated debt levels, all contributing to reduced levels of disposable income, which is the main driver for taxable sales and sales tax. And the consensus seems to be that these factors may not be resolved for several more years, potentially delaying recovery of the sales taxes. Since our last update, in late January, we completed a $45 million refunding of Prop C bonds, locking in present value savings of $3.8 million with cash savings of $125,000 through the end of fiscal 11. For refunding the Gateway bonds, we're currently evaluating underwriter proposals and focusing on possible use of a tender purchase program to enhance the economics of the transaction. For both our AMBAC-insured swaps, we have concluded negotiations within the last 2 weeks. The counterparties ultimately agreed to our major terms requests, and we will now document those amendments. Related to replacement of the Prop A commercial paper letter of credit, we issued an RFP soliciting letters of credit and received a strong response of 5 proposals. We're evaluating the cost and negotiating to refine terms and conditions with some of the proposers. A recommendation will be submitted to the March board cycle. For our next steps regarding the Gateway bond refunding, we'll finalize the financing team and begin analyzing alternative financing approaches, including the use of the tender purchase. For our AMBAC-insured swaps, we'll complete documentation of the 2 swap amendments and execute them, eliminating any further exposure to AMBAC's degrading financial quality. And for our 3 liquidity replacements, we'll begin documentation of the facilities in anticipation of replacements in April, May, and July. And that concludes the presentation.
Any questions? Motion to receive and file?
So moved.
Without objection, so ordered. Okay, number 40. 40.
I don't believe there's a staff report for that.
Do I have a
40 and 41 withdrawn.
40 and 41 withdrawn.
Okay. Yeah. Then item 43. We have a public. Okay, Kimberly Richards, followed by John Walsh, followed by Jared Wright. Oh my goodness.
Is it still February? I feel like I've been here for a month. In a few minutes after you take public comment, directors, you're going to see a presentation which I've seen twice and commented on twice. I'm making my comments for the benefit of those of you who didn't hear me earlier. please pay close attention to this presentation that you're about to see, and keep some of the things you see in it in mind as we move forward to determine what we're going to do about fare structures and the like in the next fiscal year budget. And also pay close attention to the fact that just about everything you're going to see undermines the position of the bus riders union, who I am happy to note are not here today. Thank you.
John Walsh, proud member of the bus riders union for over 12 years. I don't speak for them, but I'm a member. You know, you're going to hear this again. And I don't think Supervisor Molina was here when I asked a simple question. No one would repeat it. These surveys, which were done on phone, Supervisor Kanabi said no more phone surveys. What language were they in? The primary language of more than half of the bus riders is not English. Were they in Korean? Were they in Spanish? Were they in Portuguese? Were they in Tagalog? I'm telling you, this is a phony survey. It gave, hey, when you do your survey company, you give your client what they want to hear. And they found some people who they'd talked to 2 or 3 years before who had agreed to talk to them again, called up, and somebody on the other line said, hey, we love fare increases. Give us fare increases. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Mr. Wright.
All right, I'll be very brief because it's getting late and it's happy hour. We're already halfway in a happy hour. Most important piece about this presentation is just the item that we're all going to grapple with, and that's just what Molina eloquently has asked: is okay, what options do we really have? Do we cut service? Because if you know we can't cut service too much, because then we don't have anything to the point where when we build our measure our projects, no one's going to connect to them. So there is a fine balance that has to be made here, and one of the slides will probably require us to have a fare increase. And, you know, the strategy might very well be we need to do incremental fare increases, not one where we go from 125 up to 250, but do an incremental approach so that just as it was before we had a consent decree, which, basically bankrupt the agency, we provide the service out there to our customers and with the appropriate fares. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Short report.
Yes, definitely. This study was conducted to gauge a customer preference on future service strategies. It was not really designed to determine specific fare increases. We have a fare increase scheduled for this. I believe it starts in July. What this was designed to was to look at our service offerings more strategically and find out customer preferences in terms of making transfers, of more express service, of frequency. And we have Richard Bernard from Fairbank Maslin Mullen who will give a brief presentation.
Thank you very much. Good evening. The one takeaway I'd like you to have, if you have no other one, is that riders want continued or enhanced services and are willing to spend more money to achieve these goals. And that comes out throughout much of the results. I also wanted to address that the survey was conducted in December of last year with 400 Metro riders randomly selected on telephone. These were onboard riders, either on Metro or light rail or the bus, who had responded to surveys in the past and had given Metro their telephone number. The margin of error is plus or minus 5.1%. And I wanted to let you know, in terms of ethnicity, Latinos made up 48%, African Americans 28%, Asians 6%, whites 17%, and it was offered in both English and Spanish, and 20% had opted to take it in Spanish. All right, results. We began by giving the respondent a series of different aspects related to Metro service, and we asked them on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is not at all a problem and 5 is very much a problem, how they rated each one of those aspects. The darker color is the not at all or not much of a problem. The white is neutral. The pink is somewhat a problem, and the red is very much a problem. And of the 8 items, you'll see that 7 of the 8, a majority of riders said that it was either not at all or not much of a problem, including ease of paying the fair, personal safety, all the way down to bus and rail running on schedule. The one item that stands out, and while it's a plurality of riders that said it was not at all a problem or not much of a problem, overcrowding stands out because approximately 32% said that was very much or somewhat of a problem. So something to keep in mind. Then, to me, this is sort of the overall arching theme of the subsequent slides, and that is a slight majority of riders prefer maintaining current service with higher fares than maintaining current fares with less service. And that was 53 to 38. And then we asked riders, and we found that riders are divided as to whether they would be willing to spend an extra dollar for rail service over a bus to go to the same destination. Now, clearly, this is a hypothetical because some people don't believe that there will be rail service where they want to go. And just to point out that you obviously have more more riders that are bus riders than light rail riders, so that generally would be their preference. But still, it was a fairly mixed result of 47 yes, 52 no. Majority of riders are willing to spend an extra dollar for express bus service with fewer stops and resulting in quicker trips than regular bus service with more stops to the same destination, suggesting that they value time and are willing to spend a little bit more money in order to get where they want to go a little quicker. A majority of riders would pay 50 cents more in fare if their bus came every 5 minutes instead of every 10 minutes. This is the largest gap, 65% to 32. No, it's about a 2-to-1 gap. And it suggests that they want more frequent service and they're willing to pay for it. A slight majority would be willing to pay $2 to be able to ride the entire metro system for 2 hours versus paying $1.25 for a single trip. And that's 53 for the $2 option versus the current option of $1.25. And this suggests a different way of structuring the way you set up your fare in a similar way to some of the other larger cities in the United States and in Canada. Majority of riders prefer a quicker trip with transfers from bus to metro rail over a longer trip on one bus. And that's 59% for the quicker trip over a longer trip on one bus, 38%. And here it might suggest that you can eliminate duplicating bus going at the same places where the rail does and reduce services without cutting quality. And that's my quick response.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, motion to receive and file without objection. Yes. So ordered. Next item. We have a public comment first. Mr. Wright? Anybody? Okay. You're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's two parts to this presentation. The original request came from the Operations Committee in December. The first part is an overview of a history of transit in Los Angeles, and the second part is a discussion of more recent trends in service and fares and ridership. In the interest of time, I'll ask the Chair whether we should proceed with the whole presentation or we can jump to the trends. Okay. I'll dispense with much of the history and jump forward to the current trends because it's more relevant to the purpose of this committee. What you see on the left are the trends over the last 20 years or so in seat capacity. There has been growth. The blue line is MTA. The green is MTA plus the municipal operators. The municipal operators have expanded bus service to a much larger extent than the MTA, largely because MTA's expansion has been primarily in the form of rail. On the right-hand side, we show annual service hours, and again, the trends pretty much parallel the increase in seats. And again, you can see that the gap between the blue line and the green line representing the expansion of the munis is much greater than for the MTA. On the left side here are annual passengers. There's been Some decline since the mid-80s when we had a three-year 50-cent fare program. But since roughly 1995, there's been some steady growth. Again, the munis have grown more than the MTA. Overall ridership is up about 11%. MTA's bus ridership is down 5%, but that's more than offset by the increase in rail patronage during the same period. One of the biggest contributors to our operating cost increases is the fact that for a 10-year period when the consent decree was in effect, we added a lot of service to reduce the level of crowding on the system. The effect of that you see on the right has lowered our productivity from a high of as much as 70 boardings per revenue hour in the mid-80s to currently about 51. Here on the left side, we contrast the trends in operating costs adjusted for inflation, and that's in blue, and the green line is fare revenues adjusted for inflation. And what you can see is that there's a gap opening up between the two. Costs are rising at a rate faster than revenues. We've stylized that on the right-hand side by trying to normalize for the relative changes in boardings and service levels. What you see here with the dark trend lines, again, is operating cost on the upper of the two lines and fare revenues on the bottom. And again, you can see that the gap between the two is widening. We show on the left here the trend in fare box recovery. It's now down to about 24%. It was as high as 40% in 1990. On the right side, we've stylized the expanding gap between operating costs and fare revenues and subsidies, that as subsidies and fare revenue have grown at a lesser rate than operating costs, it's opened up a gap which we label unplanned revenues. Measure R has addressed some portion of those since it's come into existence, but obviously there's more to be done with a $181 million shortfall. Here we identify some of the ways that we can address the problem. There are basically three approaches. We can reduce costs, or we can increase revenues, either through directly controlled revenues such as the fare box or through exogenous revenues such as other subsidy sources. We cite some particular examples of ways that costs could be reduced and the manner in which it affects cost and or revenue. And then on the right-hand side, under increased revenues, we could sell unused capacity at certain times of day or in certain geographic areas, increase fares, or find new funding sources. On the bottom of the chart, we compare MTA with several other large cities. Our loading standard is a matter of policy. It's currently set at 1.2 passengers per seat. We are much lower than most large cities. One way we could reduce costs would be to choose to adopt a higher loading standard and then adjust service appropriately. Productivity of the system is currently 51 boardings per revenue hour. That is in the middle of the spectrum of other large cities, although I would note in 1985 we were at 70, which would have placed us at the top of the chart. Our average fare revenue is a consequence of a deeply discounted fare structure. We are down near the bottom. San Francisco Muni also has a heavily discounted fare structure, so both of us suffer from very low average fare revenue per passenger. And similarly, cash fares are also low compared with other major cities. And that concludes this part of the presentation.
Thank you. Any questions? Receive and file without objection. So ordered. Number 45. What are we on, 44? We're on 45. Mr. Walsh. Thank you. So, receive and file without objection. Order. What's item 50? I didn't have it in mind.
Item 50 is a receive and file report in response to a request from Director Ridley Thomas about procedures.
Let me ask Mr. Walsh who signed up for that first, and then we'll.
Okay.
Concerning Mr. Ridley Thomas and his motions, I've lost track of who was here, who wasn't here early in the day when Zev instructed the acting Inspector General Karen Gorman to do a investigation which may lead to a criminal matter concerning Mr. Ridley Thomas leaking information that went on in executive session to the LA Times, the Daily Journal, and the Daily News. And she's not really the Inspector General. It's an unfunded position. She's been in it as acting for 2.5 years.
Jerry. Again, the report is in response to a request from Director Ridley Thomas about our procedures for selecting the various financing team members. They're slightly different procedures, but they're all competitive, and they're all described in the various attachments to the report. I stop the questions at that point.
Okay. Receiving file?
Receiving file.
Production so ordered. Okay. We'll adjourn, or do you have anything profound? Okay, motion to adjourn without objection, so ordered.
So, you know, I'll second by that.